I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. I held the super.
That was a Bruce Buffer.
That was pretty close, right? So this week, our topic is Embrace Fear. Today's Meeting of the Minds, we're going to discuss what is called the offload principle. Before we get started, super millennial.
Yeah, so I have one announcement for those of you guys in the community. We are doing lesson number 3 for the higher goal setting. This will be the last one of this 3-part series, correct? And we are going to be doing it before the holidays. We do have it set for December 21st at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 3 p.m. has been a very good spot for a lot of people being able to join. So we are going to hold it then. If you guys aren't in the community and want to be a part of this, you can always join. The first 30 days are always free. Just email me or join at thestressmasterycommunity.com. And let me know if you have any questions.
Sounds good. So let's hit it. So our topic this week has been Embrace Fear. And we're talking today for our Meeting of the Minds. We're going to discuss the offload principle. So the offload principle we'll discuss today is a tool. It's a technique that can be used in 3 ways. 1, it can be used to let go of past failure and the fear of failure and success. 2, it can be used to embrace experience and lessons learned. And 3, it can be used to transition you from one goal to the next. Now, before I get into the offload principle, let us address failure and how to embrace failure. So failure is defined as a lack of success or the inability to meet an expectation. So if we slow down and examine this definition, failure is defined as a lack. Lack is a program held in mind that is connected to one or more of the 4 wants. 1, the want of control. Did we fail because we got stuck in defend and attack? 2, the want of approval. Did we fail because we had this need to be seen? 3, the want to belong. Did we fail because we needed to be part of something? 4, want of security. Did we fail because we needed to feel safe? If failure is defined as lack, one or more of these wants is activated. And these wants are the base of the ego. And this leads us to the rest of the definition of failure. Failure is defined as lack or the inability to meet an expectation. Expectation is created through perception and programs held in mind. The ego creates expectations, which is what creates shoulds, which is what creates failure. So failure is defined as a lack of success. Lack is the base of the ego, the wants, and it's defined as the inability to meet an expectation. Expectations set by the ego outside ourselves, while intention is set in the heart and within. So here's my question. How can you fail if it's the ego that creates the story of failure and the ego is not you? Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good question for everyone. I think that's something that I think I'm starting to understand now, but when people don't have that separation, I think that's where this becomes them failing and so-called them. I'd say quotes on quotes with that.
Absolutely. So you can see we each of us must consciously set our own definition of both failure and success. If we fail to consciously do this, we will experience failure through the programming we received as a small child. You see, during the first two stages of development, the child is set with their failure programs. This creates the fear of failure and causes many children to give up before they even begin. See, if you watch the child closely, many children prefer to avoid the possibility of failing by quitting. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking young children now. Now, most children also carry a flawed success program. You can see 2 or 3 year olds getting upset when they don't get something right the very first time. The child will go into frustration when something is difficult and start to begin saying, "I am not good at this or that," affirming they can't do it. Now, these fears of failure and success are programmed in stage 1 of development, socialized mind, at age 7. And they are set during stage 2 of development, imperial mind, at age 16. This is when the identity, the ego, is locked in. And this is when we have the setting of our self-esteem, our self-worth, and our self-image. And this is what sets our perception and expectations in self-acceptance. If we do not live up to these programs, we feel like failures. And this takes something that did not work out as we expected and internalizes it as part of the identity, the ego. And this personalizes the failure that I am a failure. I can't do this. I am not good at this. I am bad at whatever. I am hopeless, and so on and so on. So we must understand and become aware consciously of our behaviors, of what drives our actions, and we must consciously set our own definition of what is failure and what is success. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you said something huge, because we talk about like this as children a lot, but I think people forget since it's been so long. For me, one of the big things was saying that I wasn't smart or I was lazy. You know, that held with me for, I would say, until like 3 years ago. And that was something that was massive for the most part. And I never thought about it. It started when I was, you know, like in elementary school, and I could clearly remember that.
And it's so important, because we're talking this week on embracing failure, right? Well, if you truly desire to create a change in any aspect of your life, listen to yesterday's podcast and move into the process. But before you can even begin the process, it's essential you set your definition of failure and your definition of success. You must consciously do this. So failure is defined: for me to fail, I have to quit. Now, if this is your definition, if you create this definition that for me to fail, I have to quit, this doesn't mean that aspects of your plan will not change. Maybe the entire thing blows up. But if you reset, learn the lessons, and move back into expansion, you did not quit. This means you did not fail. Here is where the offload principle comes into play that I'll discuss here in a moment. But do you understand that definition for failure?
Yeah.
That's my personal definition. Mm-hmm. You have to make it simple, and you have to make it tied to a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, mine is very similar. If I got a lesson from it, then it's not a failure. But if I didn't see it and I continue it as a negative and I don't try again, then to me, that's a failure.
And it's the same, right? Mm-hmm. For me to fail, I have to quit. I never quit. Never. Never.
Hard.
You know, never. I just won't. And the thing is, it doesn't mean that everything works. It doesn't mean that I don't have conflicts. It means that if I set a course in my life, it's something I truly desire, I'm going to go after it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what life is about. And actually, it's the lessons learned from the things that don't work that actually create the growth that helps you to become successful in the future, because you're learning lessons along the way. Because remember, to do something that you haven't done before or to change your behavior, you have to step outside your comfort zone. Yeah. To step outside your comfort zone, you're going to have conflict,
mm-hmm.
right? So when we look at success, so that's failure for me. Success is defined for me as working and living in a state of peace. Now, if you accept this definition, this doesn't mean you will not have conflicts, but it does mean you will respond to the conflict, which means you release the conflict, and that is what brings you peace. You see, that's that pendulum swing of good and bad when you allow it to settle into peace, which means your environment can be in complete chaos. And if you're in conflict resolution, you're actually very peaceful as you're dealing with whatever's happening. You're just not getting streamed into the conflict, into the judgment, into the reaction. That's success. For me to be successful, I have to have peace. And that also slows me down in what I'm willing to do and not do, what I'm willing to take on and not take on. Because I know I don't want to take a project, no matter how much money it will pay me, if it's going to bring chaos into my life consistently. I don't want to partner with people that will create chaos. I don't want to work with people that are going to create chaos. And it really has slowed me down in my processes of developing, especially this new company. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think what for me, success is the outcome resulting in some type of expansion. You know, for other people, it could have been a fail. But to me, if I got something out of it and pushed me forward, that was a success, no matter what it was. And like you said, I had to question you so many times within this company, like, why are we turning this down? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And like you said, we've gone through this very peaceful.
Yep.
And I've realized that that's what you've been, you know, and now creating.
You can see now how all the pieces are coming together.
Yeah.
Now, this took time.
Mm-hmm.
And it took patience. And it took understanding. Right? And it took some failures. Am I right?
Yeah.
It did. It took some bad decisions that had conflict and had to be resolved. It took some, it took things that we couldn't handle. There were conflicts that we didn't, are out of our control, but we went into resolution. And when you do that, you have peace. That's mm-hmm. success.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let us discuss what the offload principle actually is. Now, the offload principle is based on letting go of conflict, but taking in the lesson that is to be learned through the experience or the conflict. This principle is built through embracing your fear. So number one, the first process of the offload principle is to let go of past failures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are programmed fear. These are a programmed fear that affects your behavior. Fear failure, you must look at each one. You must take your so-called past failures and face them with the courage of a lion. You have to, or you continue to carry them. The human being is hardwired for behavior. Behavior is dictated by what is held in mind. 95% of your actions are coming from this mind. If you carry fear from failing in the past, you will have behavior in the present. So ask yourself, what caused the failure? This is facing your demons, your darkness, your failures. What caused the failure? Ask yourself, what actually caused the failure? Be honest. Write it down. What did you learn from this failure? And then ask yourself the question, what good came from the failure? This is the process of offloading and letting go of the past. You're consciously turning that failure into a lesson, and this changes everything. Your thoughts on the fear of failure and offloading?
Yeah, I think the one thing for me is to avoiding it is a failure. You quit before you started. To me, that's a failure.
Yep.
Not even taking the risk or even the option to fail, you know? I think that, to me, is just as big of a failure as going through and then quitting.
When they make a declaration and you don't do the declaration, mm-hmm. or you tell somebody you're going to do something, you don't do it. These are failures.
Yeah. Like for me, I always had that declaration of being, I was the big guy. I was always the big guy. I never worried about losing weight. And then when I finally gained all the weight and stuff like that, I used that as my fallback. Oh, I didn't try to lose weight because I'm the big guy. I failed at trying to lose weight before I started, you know? And that, to me, that was one of my biggest failures that before I attempted it.
And so you want to offload these. You want to take specific things that happen in your life. You can look at last year's goals.
Yeah.
Did you fail in last year's goals? Take them. What did you learn? Did you try something in the past? Maybe you were young, you tried something and you got embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn? You have to face these things. If you don't offload them, you will carry them. What changes everything is bringing this to light. It's bringing this light. Now, let's talk of fear of success. What is it that you want to do but have doubts that you can do it? But you really want to do it. Maybe it's write a book or start a business or ask somebody out on a date. What is it, right? Or it could be any aspect of personal growth, especially when it comes to diet and exercise. I was working with a client today, and the moment we started going over everything, you could see how uncomfortable she got. Now, what is it that you want to do but have doubts that you can do it? What is something you desire but hesitate and put it off, continually procrastinate? And what happened in the past when you achieved a goal? This is really important when we talk about the fear of success. How did you really feel? Did you feel sad? Did you feel empty? Did you feel like this is it? This is important because if you achieve a goal that should make you feel successful and you don't feel successful, the next time you go after something outside your comfort zone, you're not going to go after it because it did not give you the feelings that you were expecting. That expectation of that feeling that I'm going to feel good. Many, many of my so-called successful clients feel empty because of this. So what's your thoughts on that, Dave? And then I'm going to talk about how we offload this. This is the fear of success.
Yeah, the weirdest one for me is the people that know that they will get the success out of it. They just are the ones that don't keep it. They don't follow through. Everything they do, they seem to be like really good at it. You know, oh, I'm going to do this. And then they get it. And then it fails.
Yep.
And then they get it. And then they fail. So they want to stop because that's that to me, I think, is kind of scarier, you know, to most people, is achieving it and then losing it. And then everybody's like, what happened?
Yes, that happens. Yes, absolutely. So how do we offload the fear of success? Now, we offload this by asking the question, what would your life look like if you achieved what you want? How would it look if you actually did it?
Yeah.
Right? And how would you feel? Who could you help? These are questions. What is your legacy? You know, and you want to answer those questions and you want to take the fear, the real fear, and use the let go technique to release the fear. Now, this can be used also with the fear of failure. It can be used with the fear of success. So we're using this one with the fear of success, and we're going to use the let go technique. So the first thing you ask the question is, can I allow the process? And you have to slow down when you're using this technique. You can't just rush through it. And one good thing to do is to write it out while you're doing it. But the moment that you can allow the process and say yes, you move into the energy of 200 courage. You're now in the green zone. Now, ask the question, can I allow the uncomfortable feelings of the process? Can I allow the fear? Can I be in the fear? Because if you cannot allow this, and remember, I'll talk about this tomorrow, this is going to be processed through the heart. You got to get out of the head. When you ask this question, can I allow the process? Can I allow this fear? You've got to process it through the heart. It's got to come through the heart. Now, if you can say, yes, I can allow this, it'll take you to the second question of let go technique. Could I let go of this fear? And this moves you into the 250 neutrality energy. And you ask, could I be flexible in how I feel? Could I allow the process? Could I be explorative? Could I let go of the fear and be flexible in the process? If you can say, yes, I could let go of this fear, you are now being in flexibility, neutrality. This is the energy of transformation, because this is what leads you to the next question. Would I let go of the fear? This is bringing you into the 310 willingness energy, where 250 neutrality is where we begin the transformation. 310 willingness is where you transform. And the question is, am I willing to allow the process? Would I let go of the fear and move into expansion? Am I willing to change? Would I let go of the fear, the doubt? Am I willing to stop hesitating and move into the process? Am I willing to change? This is an important question, because once you can say yes to this, you move into the final question of let go technique. When will I let go of this fear? And here is where I surrender this fear to my creation mind, my heart. I release this fear to my higher power. I am whole, perfect, powerful, strong. I am loving, harmonious, and happy in joy. I know what I am in expansion. I know who I am in expansion. I know how I serve in expansion. I am free. I am free. I am free. This is using the offload principle to release the fear and set your goals. Or this could be using the offload principle to let go of a want. Maybe you really don't want it. But what it's doing is it's releasing your fear of failure from the past, or your fear of success in the future. Your thoughts?
I actually don't think there's much to add to that. I think if you go through that process and asking those questions honestly with yourself, you find all your answers right there.
Yeah. You'll see. And then you may not be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Okay. You'll find what you can't answer. And that's the answer. Yep. That's what you need to focus on.
Absolutely. So the second way to use the offload principle is to offload each day. And this brings focus into the experiences of the day and the lessons learned. I use the offload principle after meetings. Any meeting I have, this allows me to gain clarity of what was expressed at the meeting. What are my responsibilities? What are the responsibilities of others from the meeting? What the experience of the meeting is stating. Is this something that's going to help me expand? Is this something that's going to bring me chaos? Or is it going to bring me peace? And then it answers what is next. I also use the offload principle this way after every time I do a talk. I do this. It allows me to see what messaging I put forth. Was it clear? Was it cluttered? Was it confusing? Was it on? Was it off? And this is where I'll make adjustments to my talk. I offload every workout I do, along with the data from all the metrics I used I talked about yesterday. I do this daily. This allows me to adjust and be flexible in my diet, my training, my sleep, my meditations, my stress mastery tapping practice I do, my Green Focus Power Hour. That's how I know, right? I offload it. I look at it. I see what it's telling me. The offload principle can be used to embrace any experiences you have. It actually is used to bring your behavior into the light of consciousness. You can actually even use the offload principle when you have a fight with your partner. This would be conflict resolution, and it would create responsibility of how and why it happened. And it builds relationships. But you see how you can use this every single day in everything you do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a big one. Being able to use it for smaller things as along with the bigger stuff. Because I've done it after a lot of our work events. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I forgot that cable this time or this or that, right. Whatever. And I make sure for the next time I have that fixed. Sure. But for the smaller things, like you said, the fact that you do it after every workout allows you to kind of adjust and continue. I think so many people beat themselves over the head doing the same thing over and over and over and not looking back at, oh, maybe this worked and that didn't, this worked and that didn't.
I actually journal all my metrics every day, what I did, how I felt, how I slept, and this, you know, I journal it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's powerful. It's just keeping everything conscious. That's what the offload principle is about. The
awareness.
It's about unloading your subconscious mm-hmm. mind, right? Yeah. 95% of your behavior is coming from that subconscious mind. Yeah. I don't care who you are. You're a human being. That is the way it's driven. So it's driven by your programs. So if you have a behavior that you want to change, what's activating that behavior? Mm-hmm. If you can look at that behavior and offload it, you can change it. And a number three, the third way to use the offload principle, and this is really important, is to use the process after you reach a goal, after a goal is accomplished. And the offload principle is a tool of transition. The days after the competition with my goal achieved, I did a complete offload of the entire year. You remember?
Yep.
I went through the diet changes. I went through the HRV data. I literally wrote it out. How the data that I was getting from my Archer HRV, remember we talked about it yesterday. This is the number one metric that tells you how mind, body are connected. And I loaded the data from that. And I looked at the different data, how it connected to certain macros in my diet and certain training that I was doing. I went through the entire year of how the HRV changed in that. I went through each of the four phases that I had set for the goal to compete. And what I had, I listed out what I had experienced, what I had learned, and what I would do differently mm-hmm. if I ever compete again. And how, and really, it's interesting because this offload is what I use to transition into the current diet and exercise plan for the goals that I've set for next year. It's the exact thing I did. I offloaded. I learned a lot. It's a very different looking plan for me that I've ever had in my life. Now, will the plan work? I don't know. We'll see. But you have to understand, if you do not transition, without a transition, when a goal is accomplished, it can lead, I will say it will lead, but I want to be careful, to a snapback, which means, now what? When you actually fall back into old behaviors after working so hard to achieve the goal, that's what you see happen in weight loss. Mm-hmm. They achieved it. Now what? There was no transition. There was no offload of what happened and what they learned. Or, like we talked earlier, without a transition, a goal accomplished can create sadness, even depression. So I actually use the offload principle every night as I transition out of my day. It's how I close the day. I review my day. I go over every incident, person, and experience I had that put me in the red zone. I then offload this through forgiveness. Forgiveness for reacting to the situation, forgiveness for judging another person, forgiveness toward myself for getting activated and going into judgment.
I got to be in that book a lot.
A lot. So this offload of the day prevents the resentment program and the rep programs to activate and to build. So when we talk about the offload, you know, principle that we use, it's a lot of different aspects that we use in it. And so I will refer to you now, David, what your thoughts are. Well, we've talked about embracing fear. We talked about fear failure and that. But the offload principle's job is to bring your life into the light. Mm-hmm. And that makes you conscious of your behavior. Conscious and not fearful of what would be called a negative behavior. It's just behavior. If it's negative behavior, it's a negative program that you hold. And that needs to be brought to light so it can be changed. And it's done through offloading.
Mm-hmm.
your thoughts.
Yeah, offloading for me has not only helped me find like weaknesses and strong points within that specific goal, but it also allowed me to have realizations of strengths and weaknesses outside of that goal. Like anytime I've set one for like a relationship goal or anything like that, I'm like, oh great, our relationship's this, but then I realized that I built better communication skills that I use in work and career and things like that. It also allows me to have gratitude at the end of the day when I kind of reflect back on it, especially when you do one that's a month, 2, 3, 4 months long and you see the progress that you've made, not even towards an individual or a body or, you know, work or whatever it is, but you as a person. You know, that's been my favorite thing to look back on is saying, that's not who I am anymore, you know? And to me, that's a great feeling knowing that I can reflect on that, but not just look back at it as like, oh, I accomplished something. Being grateful for all the little steps along the way that I've, you know, accomplished.
And you guys, listen, when you decide to go into expansion, when you decide to set a goal, especially when you work the higher goal setting process that we do, where we take you from wants in the cage mind head into connecting into desire of the heart, that spark of change into the mastermind of head, heart, and hand and integrity of behavior, you're going to have conflicts. You're going to fall. There's no way you can accomplish a plan, a goal without failures.
It's a matter of when.
Yes. And understand, you can't fail if you don't quit. And that's what the offloading process is all about. This is a technique used so you consciously look at everything that you do or didn't do, and you can look at what is happening. That's what creates conflict resolution. We can't stop conflict. A resolution is bringing the conflict to light and whatever it is, dealing with it. It's respondability, the ability to respond to what is happening.
Yeah, agreed.
That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.